It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 116 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. And Tim, the game has changed, but the players are the same.
I don't think there's a more apt way to describe X-Wing 2nd Edition. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about some of the design changes we're seeing in 2nd Edition, really going back to basics.
Yeah, we're going to start with the real foundation of the X-Wing design, talking about the base on each ship.
And at the end of the episode, we're going to look at some familiar yet not so familiar upgrade cards that we're going to see from 1st Edition and 2nd Edition.
Yeah, so let's crack right into it.
So we're going to talk about X-Wing bases today, and I feel very fortunate right now. I am holding in my hands right now a new X-Wing T-65 model on the base with that new cardboard base plate, and it actually looks really cool on here. I like the more like elegant, simple design.
Yeah, I don't want to know what sort of dark pack you made to get one of those early release copies.
I had to trade a lot of prize wall tickets to some other players to get this, but I'm very glad I did, actually. It's super cool. I like to have my folding wings X-Wing a little bit earlier than everyone else.
Yeah, well, I have one of my fancy first edition bases in front of me. So on there, I got a forward firing arc, my ship's actions, pilot's name, pilot skill, and the ship's stats.
Well, some of that information appears on the second edition bases. Really, if you look at these side by side, the first detail you'll notice is that they really strip away a lot of the, I don't know, I want to say less necessary or unnecessary information. You lose out. There's no action icons on the second edition cardboard. There is no stat line on the second edition cardboard. That information is all relegated now just to the pilot cards. You still keep your pilot skill slash initiative value there on the left-hand side in orange. And you've still got that forward firing arc, but you do have a little bit of new information on these bases as well.
And you lose that little ribbon at the bottom, right?
Well, kind of. It's a darker nameplate there for the pilot name. You still have the pilot name and then like the little ship icon there. It's switched over sides. But we'll post some photos of these guys side by side here when this episode goes up. But actually, it's just a more elegant design overall with a simpler color palette. So I think there's really only about three or four different colors here on the X-Wing 2nd Edition base. You've just got the orange for the pilot initiative, whatever the faction color is, and then some white and some black. So it's a very simple design, just the bare bones necessary information on the ship.
Yeah, you really are keeping just the essential information. I mean, you got the pilot's name and the pilot skill, or what's now called initiative. But even though that's, you can see that on the card, that is really important to have just visually on the table, so that you always make sure ships are activating in the right order.
Yeah, I think it's kind of an ease of use thing there. We're dumping the action icons and the ship stat line there because that's not information you really need to reference constantly. You have a pretty good idea, and it's easy enough when it's relevant to look it up. But having the initiative value there for resolving when maneuvers are happening or what the combat order is, it's really good to have that information on the table. And now you can actually trust the number on the base thanks to some promises made by the devs.
Right, so with a commitment to no, veteran instincts or adaptability type cards where you're altering the pilot skill permanently, that printed initiative value will always represent the current game state.
But they didn't just take things off of these bases. In the second edition, they also added some new information onto the X-Wing base cardboard.
Right, and so this is most notable when you look at the firing arcs on the base. So firing arcs now are going to include a bullseye firing arc on every ship. So the bullseye firing arc we saw on the Camogula fighter in our first edition, and that's just the width of a standard range one ruler coming right out of the middle of that forward firing arc.
Physically on the cardboard, it's the same as the Camogula. It functions a little differently in game. The Camogula, of course, has an inherent ability in first edition X-Wing when a ship falls in that bullseye firing arc. There are no inherent abilities for bullseye firing arcs in second edition. It's actually just a point of reference for pilot abilities and upgrade cards to use to determine whether or not conditions are met to trigger a certain ability.
Right, and so this just opens up their design space to create a lot more specific triggers for abilities.
Right, and I think this is an area in second edition X-Wing that overall the design really sets up a new baseline there, so they have a lot more to build on. We were kind of reaching the limits of what you could do with ability triggers in first edition X-Wing. There were kind of limited timing windows for when things could work, and you were actually kind of limited by having just range restrictions being the primary indicator of whether or not something could trigger. So a lot of abilities in X-Wings would trigger based on range restrictions, or they would based on in-firing arc or not. Now you have a little bit more specificity in gradients, where you can actually have more specific conditions that need to be met in order for an ability to trigger.
Right, so you could have a ship inside your bullseye firing arc, and specifically at range 1 to 2. And I think just opening up these windows for diversity and triggers is really great, because as the course of the first edition progressed, a lot of the upgrade cards became, you know, pretty similar in how they worked, or it forced designers to break away from the core fundamentals of the game and create, you know, different windows to try and just diversify their upgrade cards. So any tools they give themselves to continue to make more cards while still staying within the boundaries of that core game, I think is really great.
Well, and I really like Bullseye Firing Arcs because it puts an emphasis again on the skill of X-Wing and really rewards players for flying well. We're seeing changes like this in X-Wing 2nd Edition kind of across the board with revisions to how primary and secondary turret weapons work. Now those are basically side firing arcs you have to move around and control. It again puts an emphasis on firing arcs in general, and here not even just firing arcs, but a specific narrow zone there that you have to line up to trigger your more powerful upgrade and pilot abilities.
Yeah, and we saw this a bit if we think to like Wave 9, where we had that like Concord Dawn Protector title, where you get that added evade result for being at range 1, and both you and your opponent have firing arcs on each other, where you get this powerful effect, but it's putting it in a, you know, kind of high skill setup. And I really like that because I forced, I think, really rewarding, fun gameplay.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see the opportunities that we get from just having the bullseye firing arc being more of a core mechanic there, not with an inherent effect, but just as a place where we can have design build upon in order to create more specific conditions to trigger abilities.
All right, moving on, we also have midpoint markers on all four sides of the base. So there's these center lines on each of the sides of the base.
Yeah, these emerge from the center, and then they go out to the center points on all four sides of the base there. And it's actually not a solid line. It's just a little center line and then a little hash mark on the end. And these actually serve a couple different purposes. The center lines on the front and back of the base allow for overlapping ships to be a little bit easier when you're not able to complete your maneuvers. So previously, the way you'd resolve an overlap in X-Wing, if you couldn't complete your maneuver, you'd basically try and take the ship as far forward as you can and then line the ship over the template so that the guides would fit on either side of the template, which worked a lot of the time, but sometimes it'd actually be really difficult to get an accurate bump.
It also just took a lot of time to make sure you were lining up both sides. And so now all of the templates also just have a center line going through all of them. So now when resolving a collision, you're just going to match up the front and rear center lines with the center line on the template.
Yeah, and this is actually really, I think, a design change that doesn't so much affect gameplay, but it does affect the accessibility and ease of use of the game. We don't have to learn all these little tricks about adding extra templates to help with a bump there. It's going to just really put those into the core of the game to make it easier to resolve these more nuanced portions of operating with these miniatures.
This is going to really smooth out a process that really comes up quite a bit in each game and just make it much more definitive about where those ships are placed and save some time so you can spend more time rolling dice and setting dials.
And while the front and rear lines are more, I think, an ease of use thing, but you're right, it's a big time saver there. The sidelines actually do have a pretty substantial effect here. So the side center points are going to be used for a new method of barrel rolling that Fantasy Flight detailed in one of their recent articles, A Few Maneuvers.
Right, so this allows them to change how the barrel roll action works. So now each barrel roll, you know, whether you're barrel rolling right or left, has three permutations of how it can resolve. So you're going to start with placing your barrel roll template, lining it up with the center line on your ship, with the center line on that one speed template, and then you'll move your ship to either, you know, the front, back, or middle of that one speed template in the direction you want to roll.
So that means resolving a barrel roll action can get you six different possible end positions, three on either side. And this does a couple of things. The first point here is that it kind of takes away some of the decision paralysis moments that you'll see people get when they're doing a barrel roll, where you're trying to just find that exact right position. Because in first edition X-Wing, you can start your barrel roll from anywhere within the base of your ship, as long as the template doesn't exceed the front or back, and then end it anywhere, which gave you a lot of control and nuance, but it could also lead to these situations there where you have to be very careful about getting that firing arc lined up or just missing a firing arc, where now that ambiguity is completely taken away. You have these six possible outcomes here, so it's going to make it a little bit simpler in order to resolve this action.
Yeah, so another simple step that should save a little bit of time in each game. Plus, it does clear up the ambiguity. Sometimes you're not really sure exactly where your opponent marked their ship, and then, you know, if they wanted to go back on that barrel roll. Although I guess you can't go back on barrel rolls anymore.
Yeah, you can no longer just take a barrel roll back. If you try to perform a barrel roll and you're not able to complete it, actions can fail now in second edition X-Wing, so you're just going to lose out on that action. I am curious to hear what you think, Carson, a little bit about taking away from the power of the barrel roll here, because taking away that nuance does simplify things a little bit, but it does take away some of the effectiveness potentially of the barrel roll, right?
Yeah, well, now that you bring up failing too, because now there's just one spot where that template can go to start with. So when, you know, when there's a rock in the way, you got to make sure that middle width of a one speed straight maneuver can still fit there, because if you call barrel roll right and that rock is in the way and you can't move your ship, then you don't get an action. Whereas before, you could just, you know, slide that barrel roll to where it fits. So yeah, absolutely, it does take away some power of the barrel roll. And just the potential for actions to fail, you know, takes away some of the power of both boost and barrel roll.
But at the same time, I think, it does reemphasize the skill portion of the game, where as a player, you're going to be more depending on your intuition and your ability to look at the board and guess, okay, I'm pretty sure this barrel roll is going to clear, so I'm going to go ahead and attempt it at the risk of potentially losing out on an action.
Right, and I'm, you know, probably jumping the gun here and just going straight to the craziest barrel rolls, but those Star Viper barrel rolls, where we're using the one bank, you know, there is so much versatility in where you can put your ship just on sliding that one bank maneuver. And so I really enjoyed, you know, utilizing the full power of that, which is just like a crazy, almost two repositioning actions bundled up into one. You know, if that, you know, carries over into second edition, that's also probably going to be less powerful, but I won't spend as much time deliberating about where exactly to put that template down. So there's definitely some trade-offs. And it might be better that they're reining it in, because that does allow them to put barrel roll on a lot more ships without it becoming problematic.
And these midpoint marker lines aren't just for barrel rolling, even though that's a huge part of it. They also help open up some design space now. So basically any ship in the game, regardless of what size it is, can have a fore and an aft section and a port and a starboard side. So you've got your front, your back, your left, your right.
Right. And, you know, as much as I despise the reinforce action, it is kind of interesting that some card could give any ship the ability to reinforce.
Or even beyond that, you can just have pilot abilities that specify areas of the ship, right? So again, some more narrow design space there where you can have more specific conditions that have to be met to trigger these abilities.
Right. Perhaps the Jumpmaster 5000 could have some special effects that only work on the left or right side.
Yeah, it's just a really great design space there. And that's honestly one of the things I'm most excited for about second edition, not even really any specific spoiled cards or pilots that we've seen so far, but just all the opportunities there to have new and interesting design space, which I think helps for the longevity of the game, where you can continue to produce upgrade cards and pilot cards that innovate on the core of the game's mechanics.
All right, Tim, we got some old household names making a reappearance here in the second edition. We got Marksmanship, Predator, and Crackshot all returning, with some variations to all of them.
Yeah, these are some cards spoiled in a recent Fantasy Flight article called A Few Maneuvers, that I think the emphasis on that article was mostly on maneuvering, but we've got these kind of reimagined versions of classic X-Wing upgrade cards. This first one is actually a pretty big change. I want to talk about that. Marksmanship is a elite pilot talent that in first edition appeared in the core set of the game. Now we've seen some pretty substantial changes to it in the second edition of the game.
Right, the new Marksmanship card reads, while you perform an attack, if the defender is inside your bullseye firing arc, you may change one hit result to a critical result.
Now, in first edition X-Wing, honestly, Marksmanship is probably one of the worst elite pilot talent upgrade cards you could have in the game.
Right, it did not age well. Now, that being said, I think it's really cool they kept the core theming of the card and carried it over. So you do still get the conversions to critical results. But now, you know, it doesn't take up your action to use. I mean, it's not as strong of a modification, but passive modification's awesome. But you do have to work hard to set this up. It is not trivial to get a ship in that bullseye firing arc. And so here we see, you know, because there's much more of an emphasis on maneuvering, we're now also having cards that are going to reward you for getting your ships in the ideal position. You know, turning a hit result to a critical result, that's a pretty big payoff.
Yeah, this is a great example of using this new design space they have with that bullseye firing arc there to create more specific conditions for these powerful abilities. Being able to deal out critical damage has always been a pretty substantial game effect in X-Wing, and looking at that new critical deck, a lot of those critical hits are going to do some pretty severe things to ships. So having an ability like this seems pretty powerful. We obviously don't know the point cost yet because we don't have the app available to us. Points are no longer on these upgrade cards and pilot cards in second edition. But if we're expecting a similar point cost here, this is a pretty great passive effect to have, even though it does require a little bit of setup.
Can I just say I also like the layout of the new upgrade cards? They're now just, I think, the same size as the pilot cards, just your normal card size, and they're in a landscape orientation.
Yeah, this is one of the cooler aesthetic parts, I think, about second edition. There's been a lot of aesthetic changes to the game. I really like a lot of the art direction they've gone with. I do like that upgrade cards are now more intentionally designed to be lined up with pilot cards. So you have a vertical orientation for all the pilot cards, and then you have a horizontal orientation for all the upgrade cards, and then they are able to overlap slightly. So the actual upgrade card text space and image space is not the full portion of the upgrade card, but the overlapping there makes it line up really nicely with the ship cards. I've seen this with the X-Wing T-65 expansion that I've gotten to play around with, and it is really cool how those upgrade cards line up next to the ship cards.
Yeah, yeah, just continue to hold that up.
I just like to bring up...
I do really think they're gonna set up really nicely, and I think make organizing your cards much easier. Although I have no idea what I'm going to do with all my small, tiny card sleeves.
And the tiny card binders that we fought so hard to get. Now those are a little bit obsolete. An artifact of first edition X-Wing, but you know, I think we'll get used to it over time.
We can have a MIDI card bonfire.
The second updated Elite Pilot Talent card that we have here is the Predator card. You'll remember from first edition X-Wing, Predator allowed you to reroll one attack die or two attack dice if the defender had a pilot skill value of 2 or lower.
Yeah, and I honestly did a little bit of a double take when I saw that this card was making it into the second edition. You know, the designer said they weren't having pushed to the limit as an upgrade card, you know, it was built into the ships, but Predator was almost just as big of an offender as pushed the limit. Just such a strong elite pilot talent, passive modification that was just like such an auto include. And here we have, you know, a pretty similar effect that second edition Predator reads, while you perform a primary attack, if the defender is in your bullseye firing arc, you may reroll one attack die. So you do still get that passive attack die modification, but you're probably not going to be able to use it turn after turn unless you're really, really good. So I don't know how I feel about this one. A little conflicted.
Well, for me, it's an immediate comparison. We can look at Predator compared to Marksmanship, which have similar requirements to trigger. They both have to fall into that bullseye firing arc. They do very different things, though. Marksmanship kind of enhances the quality of a die roll that actually already has hit results in it, whereas Predator makes it more likely that you're going to get more of those hit results in your die rolls. What I like about this design-wise is I feel like they're going away from there being kind of staple elite pilot talent cards you want to throw on every ship. We saw that, like you said, in first edition with cards like Veteran Instincts, Push the Limit, or even Predator, which were these very reliable, relatively easy to trigger abilities. Now we have a lot more nuance here where you can kind of adapt your playstyle and choose elite pilot talents that fit your playstyle or fit your list design. And there's actually really more of a decision you have to make in what elite pilot talent you're going to put on your ships.
Yeah, so here, I mean, it's a really powerful effect, but you do still have to get it in that bullseye firing arc. So it does still put the emphasis in the game in setting the right maneuvers and utilizing those repositioning actions to get those optimal shots. And because it's in the bullseye firing arc, that means ships like, you know, your large base turrets, they can't use that out of their secondary firing arcs. It's still just that forward firing arc, so it definitely won't be as abused as its first edition version. So So I guess I'm cautiously optimistic at this point with Predator.
So the last upgrade guard we're going to talk about today, and I'm actually really excited to talk about this one with you, Carson, because it is the updated version of your favorite elite pilot talent from first edition X-Wing.
Oh yeah, Crackshot.
Woo! So there's a couple different things going on here with the Crackshot upgrade. In first edition X-Wing, Crackshot was an upgrade where you were able to cancel die results before damage was dealt. So you'd be able to discard your Crackshot to cancel an evade result on the defender's roll after all the dice have been modified. Really powerful effect here. We see something that has a similar end result here, but is a little bit harder to set up.
Right, so the Crackshot card has one charge counter and then reads, while you perform a primary attack, if the defender is inside your bullseye firing arc, before the neutralize result step, you may spend one charge to cancel one evade result. So it's still that one use only because you have one charge and you're spending a charge to use it. So in theory, the card's done after that. And you're still getting that same effect of canceling that evade result at the neutralized result step. I think that's still the same. But you got to get him in the bullseye firing arc.
Yeah, in first edition, Crackshot was relatively easy to use. You still had to be in firing arc there, but you could use it on ships like the Lancer-class Pursuit Craft and that mobile firing arc there to push some damage through and trigger your title or tractor beam abilities or what have you. Here we're seeing it really emphasize, again, skill in the game, lining up that bullseye firing arc. And I think, you know, using a Crackshot is probably going to feel better in second edition since it takes a lot more effort to trigger, right?
Yeah, I mean, Crackshot always felt a little rough when you were on the defending side and your evade results go away. But when you land in your opponent's bullseye firing arc, I mean, you're kind of deserving of damage at that point. They definitely outplayed you. Now, I really like Crackshot. I think it's going to be pretty powerful. I'm hoping it's significantly cheaper than Predator. Because while canceling an evade result is good, that one-time use versus the persistent modification of Predator and Marksmanship, I think makes those cards a bit better. So they should hopefully cost a bit more than Crackshot.
Well, and I suppose we probably won't even know what these point costs are really going to be until we see the launch of the app, or at least some information about the app coming out here in the future. One thing I would like to bring up about Crackshot, and just mention a little bit about charge counters. We could talk a lot about charge counters in the game, but it is nice to note, design-wise and simplicity-wise, now we do have these charge counters to track card usage. So even a card like Crackshot, which you're only going to use once, we don't really have discard abilities in the game anymore. So all your cards are staying face up next to your pilot. You won't have to move things around as much, which I think is a nice design choice there. As much as I'd like to get fewer tokens out on the game board, I like that, where it's going to be easier to see what your opponent had when you're trying to determine half points and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm still probably going to flip my Crackshot over when I use it. All right, final question. Marksmanship and Predator, you think they cost the same, or is one more than the other?
Okay, we're making some early second edition predictions. I'm going to have to go with, I think Predator's going to be a little bit more expensive. I'm not going to go ahead and try and even estimate a guess point-wise, because we've got, you know, all kinds of new factors going on here. But I think the recurring reroll is a little bit more valuable than the hit-to-crit conversion, given that they have the same trigger condition.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Traditionally, accuracy's been better than the weight of your damage, but perhaps the value of critical results has shifted.
I guess we're just going to have to wait a little while and see.
Yeah, ugh, so much waiting. Can't get here soon enough.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/radioTCX and take a moment to like our Facebook page. You can also leave a review on Facebook. We love to see those 5-star Facebook reviews, and we really appreciate everyone who's taken the time to leave one.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy listening to the show, please take a couple minutes here to go onto iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. 5-star reviews on iTunes are really important in reaching a wider audience and letting people know that this is a show that they should listen to. So please take a moment there, leave us a 5-star review and a little written review saying what you like about the podcast.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. We'll be back with you next week to talk more about X-Wing and X-Wing 2.0. So please stay tuned, and we'll see you next time.
The game has changed, too, but the players are the same.